Well, it's a great pleasure to have my next two guests in studio. We're going to talk about town planning. We're going to talk about small lots. We're going to talk about what everyone is saying is a building boom here in Cairns and the far north. And there are no two better people to talk about this very topic than my guests here in studio. Great pleasure to have Vanessa Maruna. Now, Vanessa is a partner at Holding Redlich, a national law firm with a big office here in Cairns. She's also deputy chair of Ports North. My guest on my left is Sharon Vella. Now, many of you might know Sharon. She is the FNQ regional manager for Master Builders. Welcome to the King Review, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gavin.
Now, everyone is saying there's a building boom. The federal government has had some various grants. The state, I think, also has some support for the industry. Despite all of the challenges during the COVID-19 pandemic, it seems that we are almost bucking the trend statewide, if not nationally. Vanessa, to you first, your take on property construction, how's it all going here in Cairns?
There's certainly a lot happening in that space. Generally, the first couple of months of the year are pretty quiet for us. And there's a big rush to get to the end of December and things flatline. That's certainly not what we've seen this year. People are really looking to get things done, projects off the ground, particularly projects that they might have looked at shelving when COVID first hit. Everybody just wants to get moving. It's really exciting.
It's almost a tale of two cities though, isn't it? Because we've got tourism obviously going through massive challenges with borders closed, no international tourism. But then on the other hand, the other half of the city is going really well. Sharon, to you, do you agree with Vanessa that's generally what's happening out in the construction industry?
Oh, certainly is. I mean, every residential sector builder is very, very busy and has a lot of work in front of them. Mm-hmm. But what we have seen is some of those tourism people or baggage handlers taking up adult apprenticeships, which is also amazing to see.
And that was one of the big challenges, where how do these people transfer their skills if they lose their job in tourism, and perhaps that's what they've done for a long time. So that's very interesting to see that they are able to take up some training, some adult apprenticeships. That's really good news. Vanessa, it's interesting that, okay, we've got a building boom on, and I think also there's a huge opportunity for Cairns out of COVID in terms of capital city refugees or evacuees, if you like. I spoke to Bernard Salt on the show a little while ago, and he talked about Vespers, and these are people who are leaving a capital cities looking for a quieter, safer, more space, and obviously less COVID dramas than what the capitals have had. And so we have this potential for population growth in the far north. There are a few campaigns or pushes going on. I think council's about to launch something, in fact, that will help try to attract people to Cairns. But it raises the question, doesn't it? How do we accommodate these people? How do we accommodate for this growth? And there was a lot of some controversy this week. Councillor Brett Olds talking about leprechaun lots. Great politician that Brett Olds, his leprechaun lots, a very catchy phrase, but he was basically saying we don't want these small lots. I think it was a subdivision or something down into to 350, 400 square meter lots. You have an incredible background to talk about this. You were a town planner. You did a double degree in town planning and, of course, the law. And so you've seen it from a few different perspectives. Small lots. Talk to me your views on small lots for a city like Cairns. Can we accommodate more small lots? Should there be certain suburbs that are just a blanket ban where there are no small lots allowed, which is what Councillor Old seems to be saying? But what's your take on the small lot issue?
My take is really it depends on what you're trying to achieve. If you're trying to basically lock the gates and say what we have in this suburb is it, we don't want anybody else here. If there's a couple of vacant pieces of land left, you can build on that, but there will be no more. Well, then small lots probably aren't appropriate if that's what you're trying to achieve. If you are looking to grow your city and also accommodate a variety of different housing choices, then small lots are a good option, because not everybody wants to live in a unit, but not everybody wants 800 square metres or 1,000 square metre block where they've got to do gardening and maintenance and all of those sorts of things. There's been some really good examples in other places where small lots have been integrated into character areas, and you can do that provided, you can do it well, I should say, provided that you've got the appropriate controls in place. So it's really about looking at what you want your suburbs and your city to look like and trying to provide some diversity. And I think small lots are a good opportunity for a place like Cairns where you don't necessarily want units everywhere. And to accommodate density and growth, that's your other option.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree, which means I completely disagree with Brett Olds. I think he's taking much too a simplistic view to say that we can't have these leprechaun lots in certain areas. And he's obviously talking about the Northern Beaches, which is his division. And he's obviously, you know, playing the political card, which I guess is what he does. Sharon, from the building industry's point of view, your thoughts on small lots? And obviously there are still developments, particularly south of Cairns, that can accommodate some of those, you know, larger 800 square metre and upward blocks. But do you see a role for smaller lots in Cairns?
Well, certainly I agree with Vanessa. Not everyone wants to spend a whole Saturday on a lawnmower to control their property, and you can have great designs on small lots and still have great outcomes for the streetscapes and for livability.
And is it up to council, for example, then, if we want good design, which we all agree, is that then up to council to kind of dictate what these smaller lots need to look like?
Well, surely that's assessed with a building approval process anyway. I mean, all of that would be taken into consideration, so I can't see why it's any different. And with the development down south, they were looking at a diversity of large blocks and small blocks anyway, because they also realised that not one thing appeals to everybody.
Is that right? Do you think council needs to play almost a greater role? And you, no one better to talk to this than you. Does council need to play a greater role in providing more clarity so that we don't get this kind of to and fro with certain councillors and politicians totally against small lots and others perhaps are for it? Does there need to be more clarity from council?
Well, there certainly needs to be, or there's opportunities in the planning scheme to regulate what those design guidelines would be to a certain extent. The other opportunity that is available is for the council to look at the suburbs and the city and identify areas where small lots are appropriate and to document that in the planning scheme so that people understand that when they're buying in those suburbs that there is an opportunity for some of those lots perhaps to be cut in half or, you know, whatever it is. Because I think that's part of the problem at the moment. People don't understand necessarily how to interpret the planning scheme. And also in Cairns particularly, when people think of residential lots, they automatically think of 800 to 1,000 square metres. So there's a bit of education to be done there in relation to what good design could look like as well. Because there are people that are living in small lots in Cairns. And they're living in areas that have high amenity and they're really enjoying that.
I was out at Botanica, the Botanica Lifestyle Resort, last week, and they're smaller lots, but people absolutely love it. There's no yard maintenance. They're happy with like-minded people, and that is sort of a specific development. But it's interesting that, you know, it's really great design, and I'm sure there are other examples like it. So you're right, certain people are okay with it, provided that the design and the quality of the housing product is good, and that's what people choose. Why is, almost take it a step backward, why is town planning important? You know, why should our listeners care about the topics that we're talking about today? First to you, Vanessa.
A lot of people think about town planning as the planning scheme or colours on a map. It's much more than that. Done properly, town planning really contributes to the social fabric of a location. So good town planning means that your parks are in the right location, that your shopping centres and community facilities are in the right locations. It means that they're in certain places that there is the right mix of high density, low density development, and that things like industrial areas, hospitals, all of those things are in places that are appropriate, that have the right infrastructure associated with them. So if you don't have good town planning, you have poor outcomes, and that leads to livability issues for people. So it's something that everybody should care about.
And I think you're right. You mentioned that there should be an education process, almost, that council should get out there and tell people, A, why it's important, what does town planning mean? Sharon, to you now, the building boom that's been happening and is happening right now, the market is hot, real estate agents are saying the same thing, but the home builder boost from the feds ends at the end of this month, in just a few weeks' time. Your thoughts on, obviously that has had a massive impact to stimulate all this activity. What can you see happening though when that falls off at the end of this month? Are we still going to be seeing this busy activity in 6 months' time?
Oh, we certainly will. So, I mean, if you look at the pipeline that the majority of builders have in front of them, they're looking at a 12-month to an 18-month plan of activity at the same pace as they're going now. Mm-hmm. So this is going to last for a lot longer. Then we're going to see people migrating from other regions or other states or even international when that opens. Mm-hmm. So I think Cairns is on the map of, we didn't have any COVID, mm-hmm. nothing really happened. We kind of are blessed up here. And a lot of people have seen that, and I think we'll see a lot of people coming to the area. I've already had many trades and builders telling me they've sold up in Victoria and they're coming up. Be there in 2 months. I'll talk to you then.
Which is what we need, don't we? Because that this also leads to the other question of, if there is this great pipeline of work, do we have enough tradies to carry out the work?
So, I would say there is... I don't know if you'd call it a trade shortage or the fact that you've got to be more organised in setting up your trades because the lead time is longer. Mm. But there will obviously be people moving to our region with different skill sets as well. And those people coming that are builders or whoever they are, they're also looking at investment here. So whether they're going to build a retreat or open a facility or whether they're going into manufacturing, I mean, I think it's really going to be great for the city to give us a little bit of diversity and not... Mm. rely on the tourism card that we've had for a very long time.
Mm. And in terms of, you know, what type of development would you like to see? What type of development is your industry telling you? Are they happy with the direction of how council is steering some of this growth? There was some controversy, whether it was Paradise Palms, and then there was some controversy in Mount Peter in terms of the size of the lots that were approved. Are you sort of happy with the general direction that council's taking in terms of town planning and accommodating this growth?
I think you'd have to say that they've done a good job in the past. If you look at our, like, the town planning previously, the greenscapes that we already enjoy and the walking paths and parks and facilities that we have and that we love and we take advantage of and don't even think about why they're there. I think council's done a good job in the past and moving forward. I mean, they've been up for negotiation on the size of blocks in different areas. We do need more land. That is an issue.
And so whose role is that though?
To
provide more land. I mean, how...
Well, there's developers here and they're working with council on the size of the lots and the town planning and everything else. It'd be nice if it could move a bit quicker, but we just have to... I think our major delay there was the major infrastructure.
Mm.
So the plumbing and the stuff like that.
Which is why, to me, small lots make sense, because the infrastructure, more people, the infrastructure costs are smaller. Vanessa, you're, I guess, a bit of a final word on assessing how council is going. I've heard, as Sharon just mentioned, I've heard about some fairly significant delays in terms of getting approvals through. You work, I guess, for clients almost on both sides of the divide, on appeals and whatnot. How is council going? Does it need to do more, given that we're experiencing and likely to experience growth, as Sharon touched on?
Look, I think the council is in the same situation as everybody else. They're short-staffed and there's a lot of work that they've got to get through, in that there's record numbers of approvals at the moment, and that means that someone's got to assess those and get those out. So it's difficult. We're all in the same situation. We're all very busy. But if this is going to continue, then I think we really need to look at resourcing, and we need to look at opportunities to cut some red tape and streamline processes where we can. Now, you can't do that all the time, but if I go back to what I said about town planning being colours on a map, sometimes it is. And if the colour on the map is very clear about what is going to go there, well, the level of oversight that's required should be minimal, and it really should be something that can be approved really quickly so that it can get up and running. And I think that there's some opportunities there to streamline some processes in locations where everybody knows what's going to happen, what's being proposed is not contentious, let's all just get on with it, because it helps everybody, including keeping the Cairns economy moving.
Now, you're both, we should mention, of course, it's International Women's Day next week. You're both very strong and prominent female leaders in our city. From both of you, just very quickly to wrap up, do we have a vision for where the city is going? And I don't mean just from a town planning point of view, although that's very important. Do we have, you know, what type of city does Cairns want to be? Would you like to see more, I guess, just more of an exciting, bring the community along type of vision for where our city's going? Do you see that at the moment in Cairns, or could we do more work in that space?
I think COVID has shown us that perhaps our city isn't as vibrant as we would like it to be without all of the visitors here. And I think that there's some work that we could do to ensure that the city is a vibrant place for not only when visitors are here and for visitors, but also for the people that live here every day.
Well, we've just had Warren Entsch, of course, renege on his promise not to run again. So at some point, could you both put your hands up for politics? That'd be great. Thank you very much. Sharon Vella from Master Builders, Vanessa Maruna from Holding Redlich, thanks so much for being on The King Review.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, Gavin.